Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome inside ESPN Studios. I am your host, Spencer Wilson. Sean Cloud back on the board this week.
Oh, good afternoon.
And, lots to get to. We'll talk about some of the football bowl games coming up this, or not the bowl games, the conference championship games coming up this weekend, and then we'll talk about maybe some of the bowl games that could be influenced. We'll actually do that a little later on in this segment. And then, of course, the fight that happens tomorrow night, Wilder Fury, we'll talk about that a little bit, and then NBA, NFL, all that good stuff on the docket. But let's just get it out of the way. Let's talk about it. It's the elephant in the room, because by this time right now, most likely, the cannon is probably painted red.
Already been painted red.
It's probably already red. So it's hard. How much of a – I mean, it's a stain on the season, unfortunately. It's still a good season, 7-5. It's an improvement on last year, a four-win improvement on last year. They're going to a bowl game. We don't know which one yet. Well, they're most likely going to a bowl game. How big of a kind of a bummer is this on the season? How much is this going to hang over this team's head?
I mean, it's going to hang over them the whole time. You go into this game knowing that if you lose, all of Reno's going to hate you.
Well, I don't know if we hate them.
We don't hate. We're disappointed.
There we go.
That's a better way.
I think hate's a little strong. Everyone's disappointed.
And it is. It's a hard lot, and it hangs on Jay Norvell. It hangs on the team. Like we were all. Everyone has been saying. All right. You could go the entire season without winning, and you win that one game, and we're all fine with it. You're a winning team in our minds if you win that one game. It does hurt, but at the same time, like you said, we are going to a bowl game. Don't let it hang over your head too much. Look at next season. Get ready for next season. Look at what you did wrong, whatever it is. But it's just more of it's a hurt, you know. You don't have this kind of rival with a lot of teams. You don't get to have a trophy painted.
No, I mean, it's rivalry week. It's
exactly.
The one that you know, is going to make everybody last. I think what hurts even more is the 23-0 lead they had built, because the first 16 minutes of this game was perfection from the side of Nevada.
Agreed.
Offensively, they were doing everything they wanted to do. Defensively, UNLV had absolutely no answers. I mean, with a little over 14 minutes to go in the second quarter, it's 23-0 Nevada. And turnovers is what came pretty much after that, from pretty much just not being able to stop UNLV. It was a tough to get that team off the field. Some penalties here or there, but mostly I think it was turnovers.
Mainly
Ganji
turnovers.
Had three interceptions. Not a performance that we've seen really at all from this young man this season. So I don't think it's something that is cause for concern. Obviously, it's not the performance he won. He still tossed two touchdowns and 295 yards. But those interceptions, some that came late in the game, one I'm pretty sure came very late in the game, it just hurts you. And those are the kind of things you can't have. And it's tough. It's a tough loss, especially you got time. You got the lead back. Unfortunately, you left a lot of time on the clock. I think with 2 minutes and 34 seconds. Or no, 2:34 is when UNLV ended up taking the lead, but they were down 29-28. So to give up that lead again and really only put 6 points on the board from
the first.
Pretty much the 14-minute point on from the second quarter. So it's tough. It's a tough loss, and it's going to be one that they're going to feel all the way up until the bowl game, but I don't think it's one that really ruins the season, especially if you come back and win the bowl game.
No, I think the most devastating point of it was when the cannon was taken by UNLV. And did you see the clips or anything afterwards?
I don't believe I did.
So afterwards, they get the thing, and everyone's happy and everything, and there's just
like the players and stuff get the cannon?
There's just one image that just kind of sticks out to me.
Okay.
And it's...
Paint that picture for us, Sean.
All right, so the entire UNLV team is there. The camera took the picture, and there's one guy, don't know his name,
okay,
standing over top the cannon, like in between his legs.
Ah, straddling
the cannon.
He's straddling the cannon.
And clearly showing kind of disrespect towards the cannon in my eyes.
Probably
know?
Because I'm guessing it was still painted blue at that time.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that hurts.
Well, it just means, you know, next year when we take it back from them, we sit on
We're
top of it.
We're going to shove it somewhere. But with that now in the past, conference championship game coming up. We'll talk about that a little later in the show. But let's talk about the possible bowl tie-in. So the Mountain West finds itself in an interesting predicament because they have seven teams that are technically bowl eligible, but only get five bowl tie-ins. Now, they could get six, but right now they're guaranteed five tie-ins. So right now, with Fresno State and Boise State meeting in the conference championship game, they're going to get a bowl game. They're also two 10-win teams. And they'll stay that way, one obviously going to 11, but they're double-digit win teams. Utah State, also a 10-win team. They finished behind Boise State. They're going to a bowl game. Then you have an 8-win Hawaii team who finished third, I believe, in the division. 8 wins. Then you have two 7-win teams, Nevada and San Diego State. And then you have a 6-win Wyoming team. So you would think that Wyoming is out. You would think that would take care of itself. And you have Boise State, Utah State, and Fresno State, and Hawaii. Those are your three 10-win teams and your one 8-win team. You would imagine those teams are into bowl games, seeing as how they have the four most wins. So that leaves Nevada and San Diego State, because you would imagine Wyoming, with its 6 wins, are out of conversation. So that means you have a 7-win Nevada team and a 7-win San Diego State team that could possibly both get in, because if the Cheez-It Bowl, yeah, I said that.
The Cheez-It Bowl.
I don't know where it's played, and I'm not going to look into it because I don't care. Unless Nevada's in it, then I'll care. I think they're going to get something a little better than the Cheez-It Bowl, but either way. So if they don't get that, then Nevada and San Diego State are buying for the last bowl position. So who gets it? I think Nevada would, basically on two reasons. One, they finished higher than San Diego State in the division rankings. Nevada is going to be runners-up in the division. I think San Diego State finished fourth behind Hawaii. And if that wasn't enough, two, Nevada won the head-to-head game this year. Nevada beat San Diego State here in Reno. So on that basis, I think Boise State, Utah State, Fresno State, Hawaii, and Nevada are in bowl games representing the Mountain West. And the Cheez-It Bowl can't fill their two bowl spots with teams that either get at-large bids from one of the group of five or whatever. Then I think San Diego State could play in that game. But right now, I think San Diego State gets left out.
Now, when do they choose when these bowl games will start?
That will happen this Sunday.
This Sunday,
so
guys.
So today and tomorrow, the 10 conference championship games will be played out. So after that, we'll know pretty much where everybody stands. And then Sunday, I think it's like 11 a.m. or noon. But Sunday, early afternoon, is when they'll do the playoff bowl selection. So they'll reveal the four teams in, all the New Year's Six bowls, and all the other bowl games. So as of Sunday night, we will know how the college football postseason shapes up. One thing we're a little further away from, though, is the college basketball postseason.
A long way away.
We're a pretty long ways away from there. We're at the very beginning of that season, but what a fun start to the season it's been, especially for us here in Reno.
I mean, it is a great time to be in
the pack. Are up to number 5 in the country. Number 5 behind, listen to the teams they trail. Virginia, who's been a number 1 seed in the NCAA tournament over recent years and has been contenders for a national championship. Duke at 3,
wow,
who I still think is arguably the best team in the country. Kansas at 2, who's always been a very solid program. And then Gonzaga at 1, who just came off maybe the biggest upset.
Yeah.
Or Gonzaga. Nevada. However, don't say Nevada to us, though.
Yeah.
We will boot you out of this state. But maybe it is, I don't know, who cares. Gonzaga, potato, potato, tomato, tomato. But either way, that's who the pack trail. Those are four very proud programs. So the fact that Nevada is right up there is just, it's goosebump causing in itself. It's fantastic.
It's great.
They're 7-0 right now.
So you would think with that record that we'd be a little higher than fifth, but we're at the beginning of the season. Things are going to change. And like you said, we are 7-0. We destroyed who knocked us out of the Sweet 16 last year. Just an utter...
Yeah. That's a good way to describe it. I feel like that's just that was the mentality of all the Wolfpack players. And after the game, they got in the locker room, made that exact sound, and they all just kind of snapped out of it and realized what they had done. Yeah, that's very, all righty. But they're 7-0. Like we said, they beat Tulsa. I almost said Tulsa.
Toulouse.
Oh, my goodness. They beat Tulsa and UMass down in Vegas, 96-86 and 110-87, respectively. Jordan Caroline playing some great basketball so far in Vegas, went for 25 points and 11 rebounds versus Tulsa, and then 16 points and 10 rebounds versus the University of Massachusetts. Caroline showing off his stuff here in the early season. And earlier this week, the Pack, as Sean alluded to, went to Chicago and met the team that knocked him out of the Sweet 16 last year, Loyola Chicago.
Loyola.
And, well, here's how it went down.
Shot clock at 10. Caleb drives the left hand, goes all the way, reverse layup is good. A tremendous spinning reverse layup off the backboard. Caleb bounce pass, Cody up and in on the baseline. Cody knocked it away, he has a return pass. Nevada's got it. Cody angling in right side, down to the baseline with the right hand, scores. Shot clock at 5. Cody right wing. Shot clock at 3. Cody step back 3 at the end of the shot clock, good. Porter fakes, puts it on the deck, spins to the rim, he's up and in. Trey Porter spinning on Agunane. Caleb, 2-on-2, ahead to Cody, slam dunk. Williamson, watched by Caroline. Steal in front, Cody, ahead of the Pack. All the way, slam dunk, Cody.
So that's some of the highlights from the 79-65 road win that Nevada had against Loyola Chicago. Martin Twins really leading the way. Caleb led with 21 points. Cody led with 7 assists. And then Trey Porter had 10 rebounds to lead the team there. Really, that's been the kind of effort that we've seen from this team. It's been everybody chipping in and doing their part to the best of their ability.
Yeah, and the points off the bench is what really gets me this year. I mean, you have Jazz Johnson. I don't know what it is. I love this guy every time.
Great name.
Yeah, Jazz Johnson. Whatever he does, whenever John Ramey's like, oh, Jazz Johnson has the ball, I'm like, all right, here comes a 3-ball. Let's do this. Love that guy. Love the love the Twins. The whole team is coming together so well, and Musselman has put this team together. You have to give him so much credit
absolutely.
On this. That, I mean, the steals, everything, going into Loyola. I mean, what was it? Like, they had, like, it was, like, 20-6, like, in the first, like, 2.5 minutes of the game.
Yeah, this team, some of their issues earlier in the season, or early this season, has been kind of coming out of the gate. They've been maybe a little slow or a little, maybe a step off. They had a 44-28 lead at halftime.
Wow.
That's not a slow first half, man. No. These guys picked it up in this half, and that's their, I mean, they were barely outscored in the second half, maybe by 1 or 2 points, but that's beside the point because this team's shown that when they can get out of the gate and really put their muscle on a team, they can do really whatever they want. And it was a lot of fun to watch that team. Like you said, the steal, like defense leading to offense, directly just picking apart a team, especially on the road like that, was a lot of fun to watch. And with that kind of erasing that memory of the Sweet 16 last year, they got a very nice stretch of out-of-conference games coming up. Because kind of like what I mentioned last week, the Mountain West Conference, we don't know how tough it's going to be. We don't know the depth of this conference so far. Right now, it's looking like there's not a whole lot of depth to this conference. Nevada might be the one kind of shining light. So with that, they have a matchup tomorrow against USC in Los Angeles. That's a big game against a Pac-12 powerhouse. And they'll have 2 more games against other Pac-12 schools on their schedule, with Arizona State and Utah being played later in this out-of-conference season. And these are going to be the games against these high-profile teams that you have to prove yourself and show what you can do, especially on the road. It's going to be great for this team to flex their muscle and show all of these rankings. I don't know what you call those people. I don't know what you call those people.
What?
Like the made that make the rankings?
Oh.
Not I don't critics. Know.
I don't know. Power rank? I don't know.
I don't know. I was going to call them rankers, but that's kind of sense.
Power rankers?
Yeah. All right. Yeah, we'll just go with that. All right. So these are the kind of wins that are going to impress the rankers, we'll call them, people that just place the rankings of the top 25. But these are the kind of wins that show them on your resume when it gets closer to March. And hey, we took care of business in conference, and look what we did against the out of conference. It could be a great showcase. I think it's something that they're going to look forward to, and that's going to be looked at as kind of later on this season, a very important stretch early in here in November.
I mean, like I said, you know, a year ago, I didn't know anything about basketball. 2 years ago, maybe. Now, I can't get enough of it. It's just like hockey. I've started watching hockey a lot more. It's a lot more entertaining to me now. But this Wolfpack team has made me want to watch college football, or college basketball, sorry.
I did that last week, too. It's okay. You get caught up.
You know, so I'm excited for this team. You should be excited for this team.
Everybody should be excited for this team.
Number five team, and it's only going to go up from there, I believe, my personal opinion. And just from seeing them play, the way that they took on Loyola, I mean, the way they took on UMass and all these other teams that they've gone against already, even though we're only seven games deep, it's showing more and more what this team is capable of.
Absolutely. And they've, like you said, only can go up from here with tougher competition coming. It'll be a great time for them to flex their muscle. Let's talk about some other Wolfpack sports going on right now. The women's basketball team still trying to find their rhythm early in this season, I should say, dropping both games here at home in the Nugget Classic, 65-52 to Colorado and then 72-51 to USC. The women's Wolfpack game will head to Missoula, Montana. When you see it on the paper right after the other, it gets a little confusing. But they will head up to Missoula, Montana for the Lady Grizz Classic, where they will play UC Davis tomorrow, and then either Montana or Northern Illinois on Sunday. The good news, the one win for Nevada did come on the road against Long Beach State, so maybe this tournament will be a good place to maybe find some rhythm, get some confidence up, and start making a run here during this season. The swim and dive team will return to action next week after a few weeks off. They will head to Boise, Idaho to take on the Broncos of Boise State. The swim and dive team still looking to stay undefeated in head-to-head meets so far. They are 4-0 in head-to-head meets this season. And that's kind of it going on in the world of Nevada Wolfpack sports. It's a little bit of a slow time right now.
A little bit of a slow month here. We'll get into some transitional months later with some more sports heading.
Rifle golf and tennis all still at winter break right now.
Yeah. Oh, it's freezing outside. I mean, I know I'm pretty sure Alex Margulies from NSN is up on Mount Rose right now skiing.
Oh, yeah?
On his day off, just kind of skiing it out.
Well, there you go, man. There is some fresh powder up there in the mountains.
Yeah.
So get out there and enjoy yourself.
I'm going sledding this weekend.
There you go. I think I'm going to try to get up there on the mountain this weekend. We'll see. See how it happens. All right, when we come back, unfortunately, no giveaways today. That's not our decision. Don't be mad at us. It happens. But either way, when we come back, we'll talk NFL here on the Spencer Wilson Show on ESPN Radio 94.5 FM. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Let's get to talking about some NFL. Let's start with what happened last night, because it may have been the upset of the year so far. Sean, would you say it's your maybe NFL upset of the season?
Yes.
What are you doing over there?
I was trying to change the marker. We'll change that. Okay. Yes, it is the upset of the season. I did not see that coming. The people that did see it coming, because the spreads did go towards the Cowboys, and that could be because of their rivalry in the past and the amount of trouble that Breeze has had against the Cowboys defense in the past. This guy go at is intended only for people who grew up
in Sorry. All right, go ahead.
I'll just keep that in there. It doesn't matter anymore.
Okay.
Anyway, so it was. It's very hard to see Breeze get shut out in the first half. The first time since 2004, 72 games, if you want to go through games, whatever it is. That's a long, long time, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't 2004. Maybe it was 2014.
But 72 games is really the key stat there. 72 games since they didn't get shut out in the first half. And really, they got shut out in three quarters. Yeah. Saints had 10 points. All came in the third quarter.
Yeah, it was not pretty. There was a lot of bad calls, in my opinion. There was, you know, a head-to-head, helmet-to-helmet on Kamara that definitely should have been called. But you know what? We're used to getting bad calls. It's fine. We're used to it. You know how many times I watch a game and be like, why'd you call that? You should not be in the league. Get out of here. But they don't listen to me. It doesn't matter.
It's all right, Sean.
It was an upset. And yes, it wasn't just because Kamara couldn't get going. Breeze couldn't get going. Thomas couldn't get going. I mean, you had one throw to Kirkwood for 30 yards for your only touchdown. You couldn't get anything in. And here's the reason why. They put so much pressure on him. And he is one of the shortest quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah.
At 6 foot. So that means if people at 6'4" are rushing you, you can't see anything.
Well, and they kept him on the move. It's one thing if you crowd him and make him. I mean, we've seen Breeze throw out of a crowd before. So it's one thing if you crowd him. It's another thing to make him run and have to make sure he's got space, because then you just don't give him chances. And again, I don't know if it's as much as that defense or the Saints' offense had trouble, as much as you just got to tip your cap to the Cowboys' defense. They went in there and they were stout from the first drive that the Saints had. They flexed their muscle. I mean, the Saints were 3 of 11 on third down conversions. 3 of 11 on third down conversions. So you just got to tip your hat to the Cowboys, that I think they just, as a defense and as a group, decided they were not going to let this Saints team run all over them. They've seen what we've all seen what this Saints offense can do. 40, 50 points, it's not a problem for this Saints team. So I feel like the Cowboys just looked at each other and went, there's no way they're getting around us. And even when Kamara got the ball, when these weapons got the ball, they didn't have space to move. That's one thing, too. It's one thing to give up a catch, but it's those yards after the catch that can really hurt you. And the Saints just got nothing last night.
They didn't throw any trick plays either.
176 total yards. That's it.
They didn't do any trick plays. If you notice in the past with the pass games, you had Hill come out, do some trick plays. You had a lot of trick plays come in to take your defense off their feet, off the edge, you know. They didn't do that this game. They played a typical, I'd say like a 3 year ago New Orleans Saints game. They, you know, didn't do anything fancy. They just kind of tried to get it going, didn't get it going. And it happens. We've been in the second half of the season. And one thing you know from the second half of the season is if you have a very strong first half of your season, you're probably not going to have that strong of a second half of your season. The Saints had a very strong first half of their season. Second half, not so much.
Well, they're still 10-2. Like, let's not let this one thing get too overblown here.
But like we were talking before we got on air, where does this leave the Rams?
Yeah, where does it? That's very interesting because the Rams are coming off a bye week. They watched that game as much as all of us watched that game because one of the, I think the only loss the Rams have this year is to the Saints. So they are looking at that going, wow, this Cowboys team was able to shut this offense down and keep them composed, whereas we couldn't outscore this team. So how do we as a defense take from this game and understand how we can, because ideally, you would think it's still going to be Saints-Rams in the NFC Championship game.
First
because
and second seeds,
there's
yeah.
a lot. There's a lot of this about Dallas now being a contender. I think it's a good win for them. It's a fun win for them. It was a fun win for that fan base. This doesn't change the ultimate destination of the Cowboys this year, which is maybe a wild card appearance. I don't think they get to the divisional round. I don't think they're definitely getting to the final four of the NFL season this year. So it's a nice win, but I don't think it really affects where the Cowboys will end up. But I do think this gives the Rams confidence. Because up until now, the only way you can beat the Rams is by outscoring them. No one's been able to prove how you slow this Rams team down. So if I'm LA, I'm thinking, okay, we know we can score. Now we know that this team can be held to a few points. I mean, a 10-point game for New Orleans is a few points for them. So I think this gives the Rams a lot of confidence coming out of this bye week, most likely going to have to face this team to get to the Super Bowl, and I think it just gives them more and more of just kind of a attitude of, yeah.
So looking at
beat
the
us.
Playoff standings, we should kind of look into this a little bit. So as of right now, in your NFC, you have the Rams is number one and the Saints is number two. Then you have the Cowboys. Or then you have the Bears. The Bears is who I want to talk about.
Okay.
Talk about
them then.
The Bears are going off. You want to talk about Cowboys and stuff. The Bears, without a quarterback, are still doing work.
Well, Chase Daniels isn't your average backup. The guy's got a lot of experience there. But I will give you that. In a division that has been run by Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, with no real injury. I mean, Rodgers has been coming back, but other than that, this team hasn't really dealt with any kind of serious injury on their team. So this has been the Packers team you've been rolling with all season, and the Bears have been able to keep pace.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still going to come down to head-to-head because I think they have one game left still against each other. And obviously we know how the first matchup ended with the Packers coming back. What was it, like down 20 or 21 points? They ended up coming back at home. So I like the Bears too. I think they're playing really well. I think the quicker they can get Trubisky back out there, the better it'll be for them in the long run. Because like we said, at the start of this year, it was a lot of why isn't Trubisky doing what Mahomes is doing? Why isn't Trubisky doing what God is doing? Right. Mariota's not playing great, but he's still getting this team wins. Like, where is Trubisky? And I think they really took that to heart and went, all right, watch where I am. And then he just took off. I mean, there was that game who was against Washington. I think he had like 3 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah.
I mean, he's had some amazing performances this year, and they are. Don't sleep on Chicago. I mean, the talk's about Rams and the Saints right now, but you never know what can happen when it comes down to one game. Who's to say Chicago doesn't possibly, I mean, they're the third seed, so they would go play New Orleans, period, if they won at this point in time, the way the playoffs are set up, the way the picture is set up. And I wouldn't put it past Chicago with that defense. Khalil Mack, you don't think he would take it upon himself to try and shut Drew Brees down, I think he would love that challenge. So I don't think you put it past the Bears. I think that's a good pick. I think it's a good notice.
Either way.
You know what I kind of want to talk about? Something that we had talked about also before we went on air? The fact that Cleveland is in the hunt. They're pretty far down. They're projected 12th right now. But they could slip and slide their way to that sixth playoff spot. Because I'll tell you right now, I think the Chiefs win the West, so the Chargers are going to take that fifth seed. Even though their last five games have me very, very, very nervous.
Well, with Melvin Gordon out, I mean...
Yeah. Although I'm confident Eckler can pick up some of that slack.
He did show that he could, you know, hold it. And I've been waiting all season for Melvin to go down. No offense to the Chargers or anything.
Yeah,
but
thanks, man.
I like how Eckler runs.
Enjoy your last place.
I know, right? I will enjoy my last place. We deserve to be in last place. We don't even deserve to be on the freaking board.
The funny thing right now, well, not so much funny, is that the Chargers and the Steelers are projected right now to play each other as a 4-5 matchup, and that is Sunday Night Football this week. Mm-hmm. Exactly how it is set up. Chargers at Pittsburgh. So I think with this possibly being the matchup they could have in the wild card, will be a good measuring stick, because the three losses that the Chargers have right now, besides the one to Denver, because that will eat at me for the whole rest of the season.
I blame myself for that. And you guys weren't here, but we were watching the games.
Yeah, thanks,
and
Sean.
I even was just like, oh yeah, the Chargers are just destroying them. And he's like, how dare you?
Yeah. We were just to the end of the third quarter, and he went, wow, Chargers have it in hand. I was like, you don't even realize what you've just done.
Yeah.
Because there's one thing that the Bolts are always keen on that you can never, ever doubt, is they will give you at least one fourth quarter blow up there in this season. And they had it against Denver. So thanks, Sean, for bringing that up. But it'll be interesting. It'll be because with the loss to Denver, their other two losses are against Kansas City and the Rams. So how will they measure up, especially with Pittsburgh coming off a loss? I feel like it'll do a lot for them if they can even just stay competitive. Because after this, after Pittsburgh, I don't know if it's in this order, but they have Baltimore, Cincinnati, Kansas City, and Denver again. So those are their last five, and those five games make me nervous.
It'll go Cincinnati, Kansas City, Baltimore,
and Denver.
And then Denver.
Oh, Baltimore. Did I say Baltimore?
I think so.
Okay, good. But yeah, those five games make me very nervous. Pittsburgh, very good, especially at home. Kansas City, I'm pretty much just expecting that loss to come because I believe it's in Arrowhead. So yeah, I mean, we'll just wave the white flag right now. Not to say I don't have confidence that they could pull it off, but they're not going to pull it off. So nervous about the Pittsburgh game. Just going to count the Kansas City game as a loss. And then Baltimore, Denver, and who else?
Cincinnati first. So it'll go.
So
Steelers.
Cincinnati, Baltimore, and then Denver is the last three games.
Yeah, last three are Chiefs, Ravens, Broncos.
Oh, gosh, I'm all over the board.
So, the real one, Ravens, basically, Broncos, and Bengals, those are the ones that you really need to focus on for your Chargers.
Which I think they can win those games. I think, worst case scenario, they can be 3-2 coming out of this.
I agree.
Yeah. So, we'll see how that plans out, especially with the Chiefs being the number one seed. I'm just hoping they don't get absolutely demolished, because if they can go in there and at least just hang with them, maybe lose by 10 or so points, they can take that and be confident going into their last couple games.
Yeah,
I think.
And with the Ravens, it really depends on if Flacco comes back or if they decide to stay with the Lamar Jackson.
The Lamar Jackson. Dude, I like that. He's good, man. He's shown some stuff.
He's showing that he is a NFL caliber player that isn't like anyone else.
So I was cruising the internet this morning, and I found that there are four former NFL players that have now formed a curling team.
Oh, yeah.
And are going to try and become Olympians through curling.
Is Romo one of them?
Romo is not one of them. Jared Allen, though, is the one that put it all together. So apparently how this all got started was Jared Allen has a friend who told him that he'd never be an Olympian. I don't know how they got on that topic, but somehow he insulted Jared Allen and said he'd never be an Olympian. So Jared Allen went and called Mark Bulger, former quarterback, Keith Bullock, former linebacker, and Michael Roos, a former offensive lineman.
Oh, my God.
So those four men, Jared Allen has dubbed the all-pro curling team.
The four biggest.
So you
the
have
the biggest curling team, just the biggest people, like giants.
Yeah, so you have two former linemen, a defensive end, an offensive lineman, a linebacker, and a massive. Bulger was a big quarterback, man.
Huge.
So you got four big dudes that are now going to go play curling. What kind of chances do you think these guys have, Sean, of being a legit Olympic curling team?
I mean, curling's hard.
It is.
your quarterback probably has the most luck out of everyone on that one. It'd be interesting to watch because I don't know how much experience they have curling. Because, you know,
maybe Jared Allen has some because he played up in Minnesota for a while.
A little bit.
But so, other than that, I'm not sure how
it's going to be hard for them to figure it out. Like, I feel like when they're, like, you know, wetting down the ice, they're going to break one of those sticks on accident.
Yeah. I was going to say, man, you get. Bullock over there,
they're
just
gonna
toss
the curler, and he's gonna be like, "Oh, that was too much." Four.
Yeah, Zenner's gonna chuck it into the crowd. He's not gonna know what to do with it, man. But I thought that was really funny, and then I started thinking, what kind of positions would you want? So, like we said, they have two linemen, a linebacker and a quarterback. Do you think those are the best four positions to have? So I was thinking about, you might want to have like a safety or maybe someone a little bit leaner. To maybe have, I don't know. I just don't know how that really. I guess it doesn't matter. It's curling.
It's curling.
I don't think size of your body really matters. So I guess it's just your preference.
Yeah, I think it just if they can figure it out and how to do it right, they would probably do work.
I think they'll be able to sweep like a mother. I mean, those guys have the upper body strength.
I think
you wouldn't
they'll
believe.
Need one sweeper. No. Yeah, two sweepers might be too much.
For four men, for four person teams, I think you have two sweepers. But you're right; they'll only need one. Just shove Allen out there with his stuff, man. He'll sweep it clean. Yeah, he'll sweep the ice all the way down to the ground, man. But I thought that was funny, and I didn't know which one to pick, I think, is kind of the, I don't know where I'm going with this at the end. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the NBA and NHL picture and how that is shaping up here early in the season. You're listening to the Spencer Wilson Show here on ESPN Radio 94.5 FM. Welcome back to the program. Let's talk a little NBA and NHL because we've hit about the quarterway mark of the season for both of these sports. And it's been, I think NBA has been a little more surprising than the NHL, especially the Western Conference. It's been dubbed the Wild West, but this is bonkers. I mean, the Houston Rockets right now, the defending Western Conference runner-ups, if you can defend that, I guess. I don't know if you'd like to. But either way, they are second to last in the Western Conference right now. Unfortunately, only above the Phoenix Suns. But we'll move on past that. But it's been insane, especially with the Warriors being in third and the Lakers working their way up to seventh, seeming to be a little bit better than I think we anticipated. But the interesting thing is I've seen a lot about LeBron now being kind of at a crossroads of, does he take over more and be more dominant, or does he kind of defer and try to be more of a teacher to these young guys? And personally, I'm happy to hear that that's the mindset LeBron is in. He's moving away from being the ultimate voice and demanding the ball and demanding to be the player that does everything, although he still can be. He can be that way till the day he retires. Kobe was, and I think he has the exact same argument as why he should be able to do that. But I like the fact that he's thinking about basketball beyond him, showing that he's now debating whether or not to continue to be that guy that takes over or help these young guys grow into one of the toughest markets in sports, which is the Los Angeles media market. And so I like to see that. And with this team right now being in seventh place, they're 12-9. Not too bad for the Lakers team. They're 7-4 at home, 5-5 on the road. So it's a team right now that's shaping up to be pretty good. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. So I think they've been kind of where we thought they would end up. They've been seventh, or they're in seventh right now. At least I expect them. I think most people expect them to be that in that kind of bottom three spots, fighting for a playoff spot with seventh, eighth, and ninth. But to see them at that spot now, I think that helps them. Because I felt like it would take LeBron a season to try to be the guy that takes over and then realize that's not going to work here and he's got to help these young guys next year. The fact that he's already doing that is fantastic, and I think it's what's going to separate him from the other greats that play this game, or it's going to help put him in the next upper echelon if you want to put him even higher, I guess, if you want to just drain out like half the NBA greats and, you know, however you want to do that, however you want to set it up, you set it up. But I feel like that's been one of the big surprises, is that where they're at in the season right now is where I thought they would end up. And another big surprise is really the Golden State Warriors, because we've learned how important Steph Curry is to this team. Kevin Durant went for 51, and they still lost. So the fact that they really do need Curry is amazing, because they're sitting in third right now. Now, granted, first to 14th place in the Western Conference is separated by 5.5 games. So at the quarter of the way mark, everyone's pretty well bunched in the Western Conference, which I felt like we thought was going to happen with the exception of the Warriors being in first, but they're right in the mix too. I mean, the Clippers are number one seed right now, the number one seed in the West right now at 15-6. And they're 9-1 in their last 10 games. They've won 4 in a row. That, to me, is probably the bigger surprise. And then you look at the Eastern Conference, I'm pretty excited about how Milwaukee is playing right now. Shaq has gone on and dubbed Giannis the new Superman of the league, and I think that's absolutely acceptable. I think he's earned that right. He's playing tremendously this season. The old Superman, or I guess the Superman in between Shaq and Giannis, that being Dwight Howard, he's going to miss 2 or 3 weeks. I don't even know what to make of Dwight Howard anymore. It's not really sad. I don't think sad is the right way to phrase it. But just the fact that he's just fighting off injury constantly. He's switching teams like every year. He's just kind of in that end of your career just being passed along. It's kind of sad to see now with the injury. We'll see how it ends, how it shapes up for him. But very, very excited to see how Milwaukee is playing. And right now, Toronto is relishing in this LeBron-less Eastern Conference. And they've got a 3-game lead on Milwaukee in first place. They're 19-4 right now on a 7-game win streak. They've been playing really, really well together. I think Kawhi has taken on more of a teammate role than a lot of people thought, because the whole feeling was he was just going to be there for a season and leave. But it looks like he's really dedicated himself to learning this offense and being a part of this team. And then in the NHL, it's all pretty tight. I think that's the biggest thing to me, is that I didn't think we'd have these kind of tight races. I mean, you look at the Eastern Conference in the Atlantic Division, first to fifth is separated by just 5 points. In the Metropolitan Division, what is that, the top five separated by 4 points? I mean, it's crazy. And the Penguins having some issues. Again, they had some issues last year at this time as well, just having 25 points, sitting in sixth place in their division. And then the Vegas Golden Knights kind of popping back up, having a good stretch right now on a 5-game winning streak, 7-3 in their last 10 games. They've fought their way up to third with 29 points. And then, of course, in the Central Division, Nashville flexing their muscle as they've done the last couple seasons, and Colorado right there with them with 35 and 34 points respectively. So it's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun to see the young players, like Austin Matthews just coming back from injury. Unfortunately, he was against the Sharks, and he really put the wood in on the Sharks, and it was unfortunate to see him do that to the San Jose. But yeah, fun to watch him though. And then a lot of young guys in the NBA, it's been fun to watch DeAndre Ayton with the Suns so far this year. Luka Doncic has made kind of an early statement for Rookie of the Year, not only showing what he can do on the outside, but also showing what he can do in the post on the inside. So that's been a lot of fun. And it'll just be interesting to see kind of where we all go, where this goes into next year. And kind of the NBA and the NHL right now are both showing that it's going to be an exciting season. They're going to put on shows till the end, so I'm looking forward to it. When we come back, we'll talk about the final Formula One race in the books, and also the Wilder Fury fight that happens tomorrow night, and then take a quick prediction, or make some quick predictions on the NCAA college football conference championship games that happen today and tomorrow. That's coming up on the Spencer Wilson Show here on ESPN Radio 94.5 FM.